أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So before we begin, as usual, let's recite Surah Al-Fatiha and let's make the dua and intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses this night and he blesses this gathering with his light and with his nur, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, alhamdulillah. So Ramadan reflections. Probably this is our last gathering in Ramadan, صح? Next week, when is Eid predicted to be? Which day is it?
Wednesday, next Wednesday.
Okay, فشكله we'll meet inshallah after Eid then and resume our Sira classes. I wanted to also cover another reminder inshallah for all of us. Just to recap and يعني, understand the objective of fasting. Ramadan is the month of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. What does this ayah mean? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. لَعَلَّكُمْ كَأَنَّ Allah saying, so that you may perhaps achieve the objective of taqwa. Basically, that's the goal. Okay? فَالتَّقْوَى is going to be a theme again today. And then in another ayah, Allah told us, الشهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. And we need this furqan in our lives these days because there's so much حق and باطل, truth and falsehood, confusion and doubt, صح? فقرآن is that criterion, it's that furqan that gives us the truth as it is. And so there is a connection في رمضان between قرآن and تقوى. Okay? And كأن Allah is hinting to us that you want real taqwa, hold on to the Quran. Understand the Quran, apply it in your life, and you'll have taqwa, inshallah. And we talked about this last class also. كأن يعني the past 11 months, our life was chaos, and then Ramadan is that one month to get our life in order, to discipline ourselves, to stay away from the bad habits, and to adopt the good habits. And inshallah, the goal is after Ramadan to maintain, يعني continue the order in your life. لأن الصراط المستقيم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. The straight path is a path of order. وعكس الاستقامة العوج. Yeah? When it's like a zigzag road and ضالين are people who are completely off track. مغضوب عليهم are playing around. فشيطان wants chaos. بس شيطان's locked up now. فIt's our chance to get our life back in order so that by the time Eid comes, Shaitan will be released again, as we're prepared. Then we become stronger with taqwa. And taqwa, the root word of taqwa is wiqaya, which means protection. But حتى, يعني, if you think about it, taqwa also comes from quwwa, صح? فكأن the more you are protecting yourself, the stronger you become. In a war, if you have a shield, do you feel stronger than your opponent? Of course, because you have an edge over them. And similarly, in modern warfare, the stronger your defense system, the stronger you feel. صح? The more weapons you have, the more tanks you have, the stronger you feel. Being protected gives you strength. Okay? فالتقوى وقاية gives you قوة also. But I wanna inshallah go over Surah Al-Shams today. It's 15 آيات. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها كذبت ثمود بطغواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها. Beautiful, beautiful surah, Saraha. And inshallah, by the end of today, we'll try to understand its deeper meaning, how it's connected to taqwa. Notice the word taqwaha comes, and I've underlined it, and that's at the core of the surah, actually. Okay. So what is this surah talking about, and why is Allah swearing by the shams and all that? So let's look at that, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by swearing by shams. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. Allah swearing by the sun and its brightness. Duhaha is the brightness of the sun. There's another surah called Surah Al-Duha, صح? وَالضُحَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. But here he's talking about swearing about the brightness and the glow of the moon. And in the next ayah, he swears by what? وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. فَكَانَ there's this contrast between الشَّمْس and الْقَمَرِ. What are some of the significances of الشَّمْس? أولاً, it's a source of light, life. Without الشَّمْس, there is no life on earth. Then the الشَّمْس is a source of energy, it's a source of light and life also, right? There's no vegetation without الشَّمْس. And then with the brightness of the sun, we get to see the world. If there's no sun, there's no brightness, there's darkness. Okay. And some ulama have also stated that the shams is a symbol of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لأنه his light and his iman was complete, it was pure. Unlike the moon goes through stages, صح? فكأنه, يعني one example here is that the moon, كأنه it's like the believers. Sometimes we are reflect, because they teach us in science that the moon is, the light of the moon is a reflection of the sun. صح ولا لا؟ فكأن حتى احنا, by being followers of the Prophet ﷺ, we're trying to get some of his light. صح? فهي is the source of ultimate light. And by us getting some of his light, depending on كل واحد اجتهاده, صح? Some people get more light, some people get less light, and then based on your iman level, either you're a full moon or you're a half moon or you're like a crescent, depending. And then al-iman yazidu wa yanqas, it's not fixed. فسبحانه, it's beautiful how the qamar represents us, and of course a full moon represents who? Represents al-awliya, awliya Allah al-salihin, those who are like really, really, really pure people, saints, if you can call them also. In our deen, in our tradition, we believe in saints, sainthood. People who are pure, who are close to Allah. Allah mentions them in the Quran many times. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. So, our goal in life, of course, we cannot attain prophethood. السلام, مرحبا. We cannot attain prophethood, صح? لأن prophethood, خلاص, it's, the seal of prophethood is done. But what we can do is, we can try to attain maximum iman as possible. فكأن the shams is a metaphor for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. والشمس وضحاها. And you know how the world was in darkness for 600 years after Isa عليه السلام's death, and then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came to spread his light to humanity. لأن وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة لل عالمين. For it was a source of light for all of humanity. And similarly, the ulama also say that the shams is a symbol for the ruh. لأن the ruh is also pure. All ruhs are pure. لأن they're from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. Every single one of us, inside of us, there's this fitra, there's this ruh that is pure. There's no such thing as a corrupted soul. Every soul is pure. It just needs to be nurtured and it needs to be taken care of. And we'll talk about the difference between the ruh and the nafs. Okay? So the part of us that's corrupted is actually the nafs. But the ruh is pure. Okay? And so the ruh is like the sun. And the sun doesn't have phases like the moon. Similarly, your ruh is also pure. It doesn't have phases. It's there. It's always complete. But Allah swears by al-qamar after that. Wal-qamari idha talaha. And by the moon, I swear by the moon when it follows the sun. So we mentioned one example of this is how we follow the Prophet ﷺ's sun. The Prophet ﷺ is the sun, and we, by following him, by reflecting his light, we become symbols of the moon, or metaphors for the moon. And also the moon is a metaphor for our nafs. And we'll talk about how the nafs, there's different stages of the nafs. There are nufus that are ammara bisu', that are filled with darkness, there's no light in them. And then there is nufus that are lawama, they go between the blaming nafs. Sometimes there's light, sometimes there's darkness. And then there is a nafs al-mutma'inna, the highest forms of the nufus, which are the nufus that have attained itma'inan. What is itma'inan? Peace, tranquility, and settled, you know, balance is a nice way of putting it also. And so Allah then goes on in ayah number 3, he says, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا, and the next one is وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَخْشَاهَا. And by the way, the following surah of this is Surah Al-Layl, in which Allah starts by وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. We talked about this last week. فَسُورَةِ الشَّمْسِ and Surah Al-Layl are pairs in the Qur'an. Just like Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran are also pairs. Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas are pairs. Surah Al-Waqa and Surah Al-Rahman are pairs. It's really interesting when you start looking at the Qur'an and the surah as pairs. Each one completes the other. Surah Al-Muzzammil and Surah Al-Muddathir are pairs. Because it's part of the beauty of the Qur'anic structure, first of all. And number two, because they complete each other. Okay? For example, Surah Al-Falaq and Nas are pairs because Falaq talks about the evils of the inside. Surah Al-Falaq talks about the evils of the outside. The darkness of the night. Where is Hasad? It's inside, it's internal, so internal evils. Whereas Surah Al-Nas talks about people outside. They have a common theme, Surah Al-Shams and Surah Al-Layl. But in this part of the surah, in Surah Al-Shams, Allah then goes on and says, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّهَا, and He swears by the Nahar, by the day. As it جَلَّهَا تَجَلِّي, يعني manifestation, as it displays the Shams in its full exposure. And it makes you appreciate the Nahar also. And it also shows you in that there's always contrast in our lives. يعني في days where things are bright, and then there are days when everything seems dark, صح? There's this also cyclicality in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basit, الذي يبسط, and He's al-qabid. لما يبسط, it feels like it's in nahar. And when he constricts and He pulls back, then there it seems like it's the night. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. فَأَكَأَنَّ اللَّيْلِ is also this creation of Allah that covers the sun and spreads the darkness over it. And so as if Allah is also telling us in أَحْنَا, being bashar, we will have fluctuations, and the nafs has phases. Sometimes it's like a full moon, sometimes it's a half moon, sometimes it's a crescent, sometimes depending on your consciousness and your level of taqwa, which we'll talk about, inshallah. And there are benefits for the night and the day. صح? النهار is a time for us to... وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا, Allah says that we have made the nahar as a means for us to go out and work and earn a living and be productive and make a difference in the world. And then the layl has its own benefit, which is rest, which is... a time for you to be at peace. There's less, you're not busy at that time. Everything is quiet. And that's why even, like you asked about parallels, Surah Al-Muddathir about the daytime, what the Prophet needs to do during the day. Ya ayyuha al-muddathir, qum fa'anzir, wa rabbaka fa'kabbir. Yani, stand up and go and warn people and spread the message. Whereas Surah Al-Muzzammil talks about the night. Ya ayyuha al-muzzammil, O you who are covered up, qum al-layla illa qalila, stand up in the night and pray qiyam and develop yourself spiritually. Then during the day, you're going to be engaging with people. It's going to be challenging. You're going to face all sorts of people. People are going to resist your message. And so the way to balance it is to charge yourself spiritually at night. Okay. فَالنَّهَارَ أَنَ اللَّيْلِ. So earlier we saw الشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. Two pairs. And now وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَخْشَاهَا. Two pairs again. Okay. And then Allah goes on to the other pair. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. Allah's saying, reflect on the skies and who built it. And we often, as human beings, we get impressed with human beings building stuff, right? Like skyscrapers and buildings, and we appreciate architecture and engineering. So Allah's telling us, look at the skies and how we built it. And there's no flaws in it, there's no cracks in it, like buildings that we build, human beings when they build buildings, requires maintenance and care, right? But Allah's sama', and there's how many samawat? Sab' samawat. Allah's saying there's no futur in them, there's no cracks, there's no flaws in it, there's no patchwork required, there's no maintenance that's required. And then, see, there's this other contrast now. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. And then, وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَا. So there's contrast of upwardness and sama, سَبْعَ سَمَاوَات. And then, وَالْأَرْضِ. So darkness and light is a contrast. شَمْس and قَمَر, daylight, night, and now sky and earth. What is Allah hinting to? Why is He swearing by all these things? So He's making us reflect on al-ard and wama tahaha and how He spread it. And some ulama have deducted from this that يعني al-tahaha is highlighting the fact that it is wasi'a, al-ard wasi'a, ardullahi wasi'a, which means go and travel and seek your provisions from it and don't be restricted. Ardullahi wasi'a wa ma tahaha. It's a blessing that Allah didn't restrict the land, He made it vast and spread out. Everything in pairs has a benefit. The sky has its benefit, the earth has its benefits, and in this pairing there is this harmony. Now this is where it gets interesting. And then now Allah says, I told you about the contrast between the sun and the moon, between the day and the night, between the sky and the earth, and now let's look at this other contrast inside of you, right? Inside of you there's this other world also that's a reflection of the outside. Allah's inviting us to look at His creation as an ayah, as a miracle, as a sign for us to understand our inner realities. And Allah says, or the ulama of spirituality say, مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَهْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ. And so hopefully today you'll understand your nafs in a deeper way through this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. He swears by the nafs and how Allah balanced it. سَوَّاهَا مِنَ التَّسْوِيَة. Okay, He proportioned it, He balanced it. And just to share with you some qualities or powers of the nafs. Okay, one of the powers of the nafs, this is all mentioned in the books of Islamic spirituality. One quality of the nafs is as-sab'iyyah, as-sab'. Anyone knows what as-sab' is in the Quran? It's mentioned in the Quran. As-sab' is wild animals. The part of our nature is just like these wild animals who get angry and agitated and they want to attack. يصير فينا ساعات صح؟ All of us have moments when we become angry and then we turn into this monster or this wild animal, صح? So it's inside of us. It's one of the qualities or powers of the nafs. The second quality is al-bahimiyya. Al-baha'im are cattle, domesticated animals who are more settled, they are less wild. But all the baha'im think about is two things: شهوة البطن وشهوة الفرج, which is the desire and the temptation of eating and mating. So that's another innate nature of the nafs, and it's a power. And then there's another aspect of the nafs, or the power of the nafs, which is القوة العقلية, which is the ability to understand and think and distinguish between right and wrong. Okay, it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think of it as like the angelic part of our nafs. But one part of our nafs is this wild, angry kind of raging nafs, and then there's the nafs that has desires and temptations and wants to eat and wants to reproduce and get married and has all these temptations and desires, and then one part of us that understands the truth and understands what's good and what's bad. It's like this inner compass. And then there's the shaitani aspect of us, which is al-makr wal-khida' wal-talbis. When you have like an evil skill to commit fraud and cheat and get your way around things and manipulate people. Yes? So do all of these exist inside of us? Yeah. صح ولا لا? يعني it's subhanAllah, it's so beautiful how the ulama have gone so deep into it. Now, all of these nufus or quwa, al-quwa اللي موجودة داخل النفس, they have benefits also. Is anger important sometimes? Yeah. Of course, yeah. So anger has its place, but if it goes out of control, then it becomes a problem. Yeah, like road rage videos. Abdullah, I'm sure you watch reels of road rage and stuff, right? People go crazy. And is that a controlled nafs or a nafs that's out of control? Out of control, صح? People who go crazy and start bombing innocent people and killing innocent people and in the name of religion, is that a balanced anger? Of course not. Okay, فغضب, then when it's controlled, it's good. Like jealousy, for example. Okay. The Prophet ﷺ cursed the dayuth. Who knows what the dayuth is? Dayuth. Probably never heard this term. A dayuth is a husband who doesn't get jealous when of his wife. Yani, jealous in the sense when other, like for example, other men are flirting with your wife, Abdullah. You gotta have a bit of anger. Right, you gotta get upset. If you don't get upset, you're a dayuth, and the Prophet cursed the dayuth. Why? Because the dayuth has no anger. They're like so cold, no feelings. Ah, everything's okay. فاحنا بالنسبة لنا, we have that balance where sometimes anger is important. Even with terbiyah, with our children, sometimes a little bit of anger is important. And Allah Subhanahu wa Taala also in the Quran, certain ayat have an angle of anger in it, right? Why? Because Allah loves us, and so sometimes anger is necessary to use negative reinforcement to get people back on track. Yeah, for anger can be useful. Similarly, shahwat al-farj wal-batn, of course, batn, we need to survive, so eat and drink, obviously, but not excessively. The Prophet ﷺ said that, يعني, eat enough to keep your back straight. Small portions, يعني. And if you want to eat a lot, then your maximum is jam, one-third. Tkhayla, one-third. One-third for your food, one-third for drinks. Halal drinks I'm talking about here. And then one-third for air and breathing. Yeah. Tkhayla, shlun, ahna, يعني, even this sunnah, we don't really follow, and people are overweight, and you know, Muhammad would know more about like, you know, bad nutritional habits and bad eating habits. Just by following this sunnah, a lot of our problems can go away. But this shahwa can be controlled. It's needed. This bahimiya nature is needed. But when it goes out of control, then you overeat. And then when you overeat, then your shahwa of the sexual desire also gets enhanced. That's why once a young boy went to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to commit zina. I'm always like, you know, my hormones are going crazy. Give me permission to commit zina. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, that are you able to get married? He said no. Then he said, then ilzam as-siyam. He told him then fast. Why? Because what does fasting do? It lowers our sexual desires and it calms you down and it gives you That's why during the month of Ramadan also, the shahwa of sexual desires with your spouses is also restricted during the time of fasting. That they're both connected. And so you want to control your sexual desires, control your stomach. Literally, that's how it works. Okay, and so the Baha'im, even the Baha'im, by the way, they eat up to their need and then they stop. But human beings sometimes, إِنْهُمْ كَالْأَنْعَامْ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. Sometimes we do worse than animals, right? We overeat and we forget sometimes. We don't have control over our eating habits. We don't know how to say no. Ramadan is the time, 1 month of training to control our shahwa, especially shahwat al-farj wal-batn. Shahwa al-farj is your private parts, the sexual desire, and batn is the stomach and the food and the drink. And then of course, aqliya, we all know its benefits to distinguish between right and wrong. That angel inside of us, كأنفي, there's this angel inside of us that has the good side. يعني. But if you want to, let's look at food as an example. You have the angel, food angel, and the food devil inside of you. The food angel is telling you to eat the salads and the healthy stuff and the nuts and the fruits and healthy vegetables. And the food devil is saying eat the dessert and the candy and the, you know, junk food and all that. And then of course there's the shaytaniya, the makr and the talbis, which can be beneficial. How in the world? How can you be mukhada' and you have trickery, but in a good way? Maybe negotiations, al-harb also, al-harb khid'a. You're allowed to use manipulation and trickery in war, for example. Of course, another aspect of this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed the shaytan's strategies in all across the Quran. What his agenda is, it's not a secret, right? And he told us, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. The shaytan's trickery and his strategies are weak. Why? Because he's exposed. So all you need to do is study the shaytan's strategies and then counterattack, right? Because you know his strategy, so you know how to fight back. Yeah? But how يعني, we can speak for hours about this, but مثلا waswasa is one of it. Whispering you, خطوات الشيطان, getting you step by step to fall into sin. الشيطان يوسوس when we forget Allah. And then يخنس الوسواس الخناس. الوسواس when we forget Allah. And يخنس, he runs away and retreats when we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or sorry, when we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many things that shaitan does. It's a very long discussion, but it's all over the Quran. Allah exposed to us everything about the shaitan. And so shaitan suggests only. He doesn't have control over us. He only has the power of suggestion. Now it's based on us, how we, using our intellect, balance all these three. Okay. Balance our farj and our shahwa and the shahwa of the batn and how we understand the makr of shaitan and not allow him to trick us, and we control our ghadab and we control our anger and become patient people. Yeah, sure. Yeah, so,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah. God is God. Mm. But obviously, I know, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Because how is the shaitan can be as present?
Mm. So that's يعني, a dua that shaitan made to Allah. And Allah was so generous that he accepted shaitan's dua. Yeah. Shaitan asked him, Ya Rabbi, give me the power to deceive your people. And to
deceive
the people. He made this dua to Allah and Allah says, done. But that's part of the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he gave shaitan these powers, but he's not everywhere, which means shaitan's not in jinn. Yeah, but he has powers, obviously, yeah. But Allah, out of his rahmah, he exposed all his, like we said, qualities, strategies, intentions, goals, so that we can be aware of him and learned how to counter. Yeah. But it's a necessity of life, yani, to be tested with shaitan. Otherwise, yani, what's the point of life also, right? And what's the point of the darajat of Jannah and all of that also? So wa nafsin wa ma sawaha. And now this is where it gets interesting. So you have the ruh. Remember we said the ruh is the symbol of the sun. Yes? It's pure. The ruh is a symbol of the sun. And then the moon is a symbol of the nafs, which fluctuates, it changes. فَكَأَنَّ there's this battle going on. Where is this battle taking place? In your hearts. Okay, and the heart is the battleground, and in it you have the nur of the aql, you have the shahwa of the batn and the farj, you have the anger, you have the shaitani suggestions, you have all of these things going on. And then a balanced heart or a pure heart will be able to make the right decisions. Okay? But if when the heart, when the insan makes or allows the heart to become impure, then what happens? His ability to think gets corrupted and his decision making gets messed up, and then shaitan is winning that game. There's this constant struggle that's going on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةِ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. فَكَأَنَّ the nafs, and here Allah's talking about the lower nafs that has these desires to either follow the shaitan or excessive ghadab or excessive shahwat. Allah's telling us, you need to do some nahi of your nafs, like struggle against your nafs. Learn to say no. That's what Ramadan is about. It's about saying no to your nafs. Even halal food, you say no to it during fasting. Your desires, you say no to them. You want to backbite and lie, you say no, I'm fasting. You get angry, you say no, I'll be patient, I'm fasting. But you learn to control your nafs and hold on to it. So Allah is saying that is the nafs that will attain the Jannah in this world and the next. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. And then of course the aql, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the aql part of the nafs. Remember it has that intellect and the ability to understand right from wrong. Allah gave it nurun ala nur, which is what the Qur'an. So when the Qur'an came down, it also came down with wahi and revelation and guidance, so that the aql can use this guidance to make, to understand clearly what's right, what's wrong, and to make the right decisions. One way to also understand Quran is think of Quran also as the source of light in our lives. And without Quran, there's darkness in your life. With Quran, your heart is filled with nur. Without Quran, your heart does not have nur. And let me give you two examples to make this very, very easy to understand. Allah subhanahu says in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Don't they reflect on the Quran? Don't they deeply ponder upon the Quran? Or are the hearts locked up? أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. فَكَأَنَّ some hearts are locked. Why are they locked? Because of certain bad habits or sins that the heart gets exposed to, or certain disease of the heart, like kibr, arrogance, jealousy, anger, hasad, showing off. And sometimes these are shahwat, simply addictions that you have. Using your eyes or exposing your eyes to impurities, that corrupts the heart. There's a ghishawa that comes on the heart, gets locked up. When you expose your ears to filthy lyrics, right, Abdullah? A lot of the music nowadays, the lyrics are good or impure? Huh? Impure, yeah. So you got to watch what you... And yeah, the beats and the music is nice, but the lyrics is the poison, yes? So you have to be very, very careful what you listen to and what you see. And so fasting is not just about limiting your food intake and drink intake and sexual desire. It's hatta, it's the eyes, it's the ears, it's the batn, it's the farj, all of this together, right? And so what does shaitan do? Shaitan uses, in the modern day, he uses the modern day entertainment industry to corrupt the eyes and the ears and lock the hearts. And then he says, خلاص روحا وحين صلوا قيام اقرأ قرآن. It won't impact you because the nur cannot enter a locked heart, because the heart is filled with diseases. It's of course, the good counts, and Ramadan is a month for us to clean up all the sins of the past and to wipe away all the sins of the past. But it's kind of like a rahmah. Ramadan, and especially Layal al-Qadr, the last 10 nights, Layal al-Qadr, khayrun min alfi shahr. So you could have spent an entire lifetime doing wrong. One night, Allah will replace all of that wrong with goodness. فَكَأَنَّ Allah is being extra generous with us. إِنَّ تَرَى I know life is tough. I know shaitan and his tricks are... You live in a tough world today, but I'm giving you an extra bonus window of opportunity to do goodness and to purify your heart completely. And so Allah says, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. It gave it this inspiration to do fujur, which is wickedness, and to be righteous. But we have these two options, two paths of, or two choices that we can make in every decision. Either we can be protective of our choices and make the right choices, or we can have fujur, which means what? To go out of boundary, yani to go excessively out of the restriction that Allah put for us, which is chaos. And the deen came with restrictions and rules and sharia. Why? To bring order to our lives. And the maqasid of sharia, we talked about this previously, there's maqasid of sharia, maqasid of these rules and these restrictions. Number one, حفظ الدين, to protect your deen. Number two, حفظ الحياة, protection of your life. Number three is protection of your minds, حفظ العقل. Number four is حفظ النسل, protecting your family and lineage. And number five is protection of your wealth, حفظ المال. So the sharia came to protect us, to make sure that your rights are not violated. And then Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. These are the two contrasts. So let's just take a look at this illustration. Yeah. So to wrap up what we're talking about, we are made from two major elements. There's the teen aspect of us, which is from the ground, which is from earth. Yeah, it's teen, it's wet sand and dust. And so it has raghabat, it has needs. Food and drink, spousal relations, reproduction, marriage. Of course, sleep is there for rest. Then of course, anything to do with the body, which means your eyes, your tongue, your ears. These are all part of the body, and the body is external, صح? It's something that you can see, and it has all these desires, right? The desire to use your eyes, to use your tongue, to use your ears, and sleep, and food, and drink, and all of these things. And then there's another aspect of us, which is, of course, anger is there also, and arrogance and hatred. This is all as a result, usually, of lower qualities of the nafs. But in contrast, you have the ruh, the soul, which has also needs. So what is the food of the soul? If the body has needs, like food and drink and sexual desires and marriage and sleep and all of this, what is the food of the soul? The soul also has, soul is an aspect of us. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. So what? So the soul also has needs. What is the food for the soul? Exactly. So dhikrullah. Yeah? Dhikr. And so the more we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more the soul gets nourished. And so dhikr can come in the form of Qur'an, salat, dua, or doing like a wird of dhikr, reflection on the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. أَلَا here means only and only with the dhikr of Allah will the hearts attain tranquility and peace. There's no other way. And so the soul has needs and the body has needs. Now, in our day and age, what are we focused on more? The soul needs or the body needs? Mainly body. Why? Because it's external, it's seen. Because we live in a materialistic world. But how many times do you look at yourself in the mirror, Abdullah, in a day? Two times only, morning and evening? Yeah, I think the girls, they look at themselves more, yeah? But we live in the age of materialism, You go to the shopping mall, they're selling you stuff for your body. Shoes, clothes, makeup. And the doctors are selling you makeovers and, you know, you're brushing your teeth every day, you're showering. We're obsessed with taking care of the body, which is nice. يعني مو بغلط, مو بعيب. But what happened is we forgot the soul and we forgot the importance of dhikr. Why? Because the soul is something unseen. And طبيعة الإنسان إنه he forgets what's not seen. It's not obvious. يعني. And so the Quran is sitting on our shelves with dust on it. And, you know, salah is, the quality of the salah is not that great. We're not doing dua that much. Our soul is يعني desperately in need for food. And so a balance is where we need to take care of both. And so Ramadan is that month where Allah says, okay, you know what, take a break from your body needs. Focus on the soul. Let's rebalance, let's reset. It's like a reset button. And like we said, the more we feed the soul, the more we attain taqwa in our, and the more responsible we are of our choices, of our ears and our tongue and our eyes and hatta our يعني shahawat and our anger, all of these things, when we tame them and we're controlling them in a good way, then we become stronger and the heart becomes purer and Allah gives you taqwa. It's like a shield. But the muttaqeen are people whose hearts are purified and protected from any sort of incorruption. And notice in Surah Al-Baqarah, right from the beginning of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika Al-Kitab, La Rayba Fih, Hudan Liman, Lil-Muttaqeen. That book, the Quran, there's no doubt about it, and it's guidance for Al-Muttaqeen. Which means people who don't have taqwa in their hearts, it's like their hearts are locked. They won't really benefit from it. And so there are so many people who are praying today and reading Quran, but it's not penetrating, the nur of the dhikr is not penetrating their heart. Why? The heart is not purified. There's arrogance, there's anger, there's jealousy, there's hatred, there's impure consumption of content for their eyes, impure consumption of content for their ears. They're overeating, they're drinking haram things, their relations are not according to the halal relationships in terms of marriage, and so there's extramarital relationship, there's zina, there's fornication, there's adultery, and so there's chaos, and so the heart gets corrupted, and that's exactly what shaitan wants. He wants to lock up the heart so that the ibadah has no benefit to you. And so shaitan wants us to be obsessed with this low life, this dunya, and Allah calls it dunya because it's min ad-dunu, it's low. Whereas Allah is telling us, focus on the akhirah, focus on the next life, which means you will have to sacrifice some temptations in this life, which means you will have to be patient. That's the difference between short-term pleasure versus long-term pleasure, right? People who just want to enjoy their life now, what they're forgetting is the long-term pain that comes with that. Okay? So many mental health issues, anxiety, depression, loneliness, lack of self-confidence, doubts, hatred, jealousy, all of these lower emotions are as a result of this imbalance between the soul and the body. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be people of akhirah, people who sacrifice parts of the pleasure of this dunya for long-term pleasure in Jannah. And in Jannah, there's eternal pleasure. Jannah is not a fantasy or a fake thing. Yani. It's not a myth. It's a reality. A place where there will be no dhama, there will be no thirst, no hunger. There's no sickness. You don't get lost in Jannah. You don't feel sad. There's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no anger, there's no disease, no sickness. It's just pleasure upon pleasure upon pleasure upon pleasure. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ did to the Sahaba. He yani, really yani, emphasized on Jannah so much that khalas, that became the motivation for the Sahaba to live a righteous life. It's unlike the one-eyed world that we live in, right? Some people call it the Dajjal, the one-eyed Dajjal. Why? Because the one-eyed Dajjal wants you to look at the world with one eye only, the eye of materialism, the eye of instant satisfaction and shahawat and ghadab and jealousy and kibr and arrogance. But Allah gave us two eyes. Why? To see this world and to be able to see the akhirah and to balance the two together. But Allah gave you one heart also. Which means, can it have dunya and akhirah in it or what? What do you think? Mafroot. Mafroot. That doesn't mean you desert the world and you just go and live in the mountains. No.
But if you're living for the akhirah, you're good in the dunya.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a farming ground. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. Fa, you plant your seeds of goodness for akhirah. Maybe Allah will give you some fruits in dunya. Maybe not. Both ways, life is not going to be fair. Yeah, that's why we have akhirah. Yeah. There's no such thing as guaranteed return on investment in dunya. That's the deal. But we have blind faith, literally. Yeah. That's why it's tough. It was tough for Quraysh to believe in this message, because it's actually like a crappy deal from the dunya perspective, right? Like, because any investment you make, you want returns. You're telling me I have to give sadaqah, but I'll see like the results in a palace in Jannah and trees and waterfalls. And what about this world? Maybe nothing. But you do it anyway, because you have blind faith. That's what iman is. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ Allah says, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. So our iman in ghayb is key. Yeah. But it sounds crazy, right? Yani, you sacrifice your entire life for something unseen that you trust 100% because of what? Your faith. And that faith comes from your belief in the Qur'an and the belief in the Prophet of the message of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's what it is, because Allah said so in the Quran. I believe the Quran is the word of Allah, and I believe that He sent prophets to human beings to guide them, because Allah loves us, and Allah protected the Quran. Therefore, this message cannot be tampered with. It cannot be changed. It cannot be edited. So this must be the word of Allah. So I believe it. I'm willing to sacrifice my life for it. Literally, sacrifice my entire life for Akhirah. And we're seeing true examples of this in Gaza and other places where people are suffering today, right? Literally, Allah took away everything from their lives to show us an example of how people can still hold on to faith with nothing materialistic in their lives anymore. Ajib, saraha, you know? No family, no parents, no food, no water, no electricity, no shower, no school. But yet, their souls are alive, their hearts are alive, you know? And so, we have to ask ourselves, why has Allah blessed us with so much comfort while other people are suffering? What are we doing with our lives? Yani, what is our test?
That's the challenge, the comfort.
Yeah, comfort. Yes. So, are we just going to live our lives to fulfill our bodily needs? You know, eat, drink, sleep, get married, have kids, and die. That's it. Yeah. And so many people live their lives just like that. Eat, drink, get married, sleep, entertain yourself to death. That's what many people are living their lives like now. But there's a higher purpose. Okay, a higher purpose where we learn so much from the life of the Prophet ﷺ. The life of the Sahaba. They lived a life to make this world a better place. They had a vision. They wanted to contribute to this world, to make this world a better place in whatever capacity you can do. And so they were living a life of giving, of contribution, not taking, not consuming, giving, offering value. Yeah. But that's why learning, and by the way, we ask for this path 17 times a day. You're saying, "Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim." Who are al-ladhina an'amta alayhim? It is the prophets, the messengers, the sahaba. Okay, what did they do? What kind of life did they live? A life of sacrifice, a life of giving, a life of purpose, a life of meaning. And wait a second, you're asking for this path. You're asking for that kind of lifestyle. Ihdina salat al-mustaqim. And Allah, and out of His wisdom, He added this emphasis, Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, from the past. Why? To remind us, this is the path you're asking for. Are you living? Are you walking your talk? Or are we just asking Allah for that path, but we're following a different path? They lived a path of sacrifice. They lived a path of meaning, a path of purpose, a path of contribution. What are we doing? You know, so this is the reminder here. And so, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. True success. Then in the dunya sense, how do we define success? People who have money, fame, power, big house, nice car, private jet, yacht. That's success in the worldly sense. Huh, Abdullah? Yeah, the one who has the fast car and the... But according to Allah, who is the successful? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ. The one who purified this nafs. Zakkaha refers to the nafs. The one who purifies this nafs and does tazkiyah of it. They are the true winners. Because they will get the nafs al-mutma'innah. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَى. And the one who suppresses the nafs and neglects it, just focuses on the body, they are the ones who are the losers. And so the nafs is like this horse, and we are the rider. And then the rider, in order to ride the horse, for those of you, who's a good horse rider here? Anyone who has done horse riding? Mahat fikum? Okay. For fun. Yeah, but you tried it. The basic thing is to hold on to the reins, and you control the horse to the reins. If you let go of the reins, what happens? The horse controls you, and it's a recipe for disaster. The one who does not control his nafs is like the rider who has left the reins. And so the nafs represents the horse, right? And you are riding the horse. Imagine living a life where the horse is taking you for a ride. What kind of a life would that be? Messed up, dangerous, risky, صح? You could break your back. But the moment you say, no, wait, I'll hold on to the reins, I'm in control now, and I will tame this horse. That's when you start having control. That's what tazkiyatun nafs is about. It's about saying no, it's about purifying your nafs, doing dhikr, and staying away from toxic things, and all of that kind of stuff. So this is the path, yeah? From al-ammara bis-su', al-nafs al-ammara bis-su'. You purify by doing good deeds, staying away from bad deeds, and making lots of dua, because who will upgrade your nafs? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not us, until you reach the state of a nafs al-mutma'inna in this world. And that is the true Jannah of this world. And the ulama say that there's a Jannah in this dunya, whoever doesn't taste it will not taste the Jannah of the akhirah. And that Jannah is this nafs al-mutma'inna, and it is achievable. It is achievable. That should be our goals, all of us. So I just want to close because...
Can you go back to the last one?
Which one? This one?
Yeah.
So at the end, Allah concludes with a paragraph about an example of a nafs al-amara bis-su. He talks about the people of Thamud. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا. Thamud were a people who... Allah sent them a prophet named Salih. And of course, like every other prophet, they denied his message. And they asked for a miracle, and then Allah gave him a miracle. What was his miracle? A she-camel literally came out of a boulder, a big rock. Okay? And that's a miracle. A camel coming out of a rock, literally. And they saw it with their own eyes. But what's the sunnah of Allah? If the people ask for a miracle and the people are given the miracle and they still disbelieve, then what's the sunnah of Allah? Destroys them, yeah? So they, كَذَّبُوهُ, which means they lied against, they disbelieved it, they didn't believe him. بِطَغْوَاهَا. Why? They had طُغْيَان. What is طُغْيَان? Simply put, if I keep pouring water in this cup and it overflows, it transgresses, then that's called tughyan. Okay? And so they transgressed the boundaries of Allah, and Salih alayhi salam told them, don't kill this she-camel and let it drink from the well. One day you guys drink from the well, one day the she-camel will drink from the well. But they, what did they do? Their nufus were corrupted. They saw a miracle and they were corrupted. So one of them, إِذِنْ بَعْثَ أَشْقَاهَا, one of them, in ba'atha, look at the word choice, subhanAllah. In ba'atha means like he acted on his impulse. Okay? What did he do? He went, إِذِنْ بَعْثَ أَشْقَاهَا فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةُ اللَّهِ وَسُقِيَهَا. Salih told them, do not harm the sheep camel. This is نَاقَةُ اللَّهِ. Allah associates this camel to him. Yeah, it's a very, very special naqa. It's not just any naqa. Naqatullahi wa suqiyaha. Don't touch this naqa and let it drink. But what did this man who had this impulse, he was able to influence the people around him, and they denied or they rejected the Salih alayhi salam's instructions. Fa'aqaruha. And they killed this, slaughtered this she-camel. And عقر is to kill slowly. And so they did it in broad daylight, without any shame, without any feeling of guilt, without any fear, without any acknowledgement for the Prophet's advice. Then what did Allah do as a result? فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا. He sent upon them a destruction according to their sin. فَسَوَّاهَا. And He flattened the earth. And then at the end, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. And he does not fear the consequence thereof. So this has two meanings to it. One, Allah does what He wants and He's not afraid of the consequences, because Allah's choices and His decisions are always perfect. The other meaning behind this is the one who was impulsive to bring up this idea of let's kill the naqa. That meant في واحد يشوش, صح? Let's do this, let's kill the naqa. Allah's telling us deep down inside, what was the cause of him being gutsy enough to act upon his impulse? At the root of it was this, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا, which means he did not fear the consequences of his actions. فَكَأَنَّ اللَّهُ is teaching us a beautiful lesson about taqwa, is that a muttaqi is someone who, before acting, asks himself, what are the consequences of this action? What are the consequences of this action? If it's a good consequence, he does it. If it's a negative consequence, he doesn't do it. That is essentially what a muttaqi is. For you, before deciding, you're using your intellect to foretell the consequences and then act upon it. You're not blinded from the consequences. Shaitan's goal is to blind you from the consequences and to just act immediately. But just in summary, some habits that, inshallah, this is the month of dua, so make some of these intentions, inshallah, to upgrade our habits and change them. So there are certain things that you want to do, like praying on time. You want to feed your soul with dhikr. You want to read Quran, at least a page a day, guys, for your ruh. Yeah? Feed your soul. Fasting, even like after Ramadan, try to fast, like voluntary fast. It's good for controlling your shahwa, good for self-discipline. There's Mondays and Thursday fasting. There's Ayyam al-Bees, the 13th, 14th, 15th of every lunar month. Spend time, invest time in learning your deen. Feed your soul through knowledge, through suhbah, through coming to gatherings like this where there is nur, there's the barakah of the gathering. Have a healthy lifestyle, be active, eat healthy, focus on your character, stay away from like backbiting, using your tongue inappropriately, have integrity, have good akhlaq, be kind, be generous, be patient. Do some community service, do some khidmah for people out of love. Feed the poor, take care of the orphans, teach, spend time with people in need. Everything you do, do with ihsan. If you're running a business, do it with ihsan, with excellence. If you're in a job, do your job with excellence. Serve your customers well. add value to your employer, and have a habit of doing dhikr on a daily basis, some wird that you have. And of course, there are certain things you want to quit also, like the fujur aspect, okay, things that you want to quit. If you're into any kind of intoxicants, try to purify yourself from them, because it's numbing the mind, and so you won't be able to make correct decisions. And we talked about how important the intellectual part of your nafs is, right? To distinguish right from wrong. Be kind to your parents. Beware of arrogance and kibr in your heart. Beware of the evils of the tongue, lying, cheating, backbiting, namima, spreading false rumors to create hatred between each other. Watch your eyes, lower your gaze when there's filth, especially nowadays, Netflix, every other movie, there's got to be like a filthy scene there. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you hear. Stay away from haram relationships. Control your shahawat, you know. Get married if you can, otherwise fast and control your shahwat. And of course, there's certain flexibilities in terms of releasing your desires, you know, without engaging with a partner in a haram relationship. And of course, be aware of haram income. The dua of a person who earns haram income, their dua does not get accepted. Very, very important to have halal income. Beware of bribes, beware of inappropriate business practices, beware of riba, usury. And so a lot of things to do, a lot of things to quit. It's not going to happen overnight, but at least I thought like I'd just dump some things to do for us to make it practical. And you want a pure heart, this is the way, guys. This is the istiqama that we're talking about. It's not going to happen overnight. Make the niyyah that Allah helps you. Habit changes take time. My teacher, I asked him this question 2 days ago. How long? Because like some people say it takes 30 days to change your habits. Some people say it takes 6 months. But his answer was a year and a half. And that's with support and help. With someone like actively meeting you once a week. A year and a half to change your habits. فَيَبِّلَ صَبَرُ الْمَوْضُوعِ يَبِّلَ commitment. And is it worth it though? That's the question you have to ask yourself, you know. What's the price you're willing to pay for Jannah? And what are you competing for, you know? Because there's levels in Jannah, and you want to ask for the highest level of Jannah. Al-Firdaws al-A'la. So we ask Allah to accept, inshallah, our ibadah, our qiyam, our fasting in these nights. May He give us the tawfiq to purify our hearts, to attain taqwa. May He give us the strength to overcome our lower nafs, and may He give us the tawfiq to attain the nafs al-mutma'inna, the nafs that is radiya mardiya, the nafs that is content, the nafs that is radiya bil-qadr, the destiny that Allah has chosen for it, and the nafs that Allah is also pleased with. And may He give us a life of purpose, a life of meaning, and a life of contribution, and may He make the prophets our role models, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك